Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life, you hear me? Give my creation life.
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Begin countdown.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Good afternoon, everybody. How are you today? Glad to have you along with us here on the Guy James Show this afternoon. Been waiting all weekend for this, and Monday too. So the time has arrived, and been looking forward to getting back together with you again, and hope you've been looking forward to it, too. We hope to have a good show for you today. Of course, a lot of that depends on you, you know. It's a talk show, and you can talk. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. We don't have any guests scheduled today. It is August in Washington. And you know what that means? It means just about everybody's out of town. So good political guests are hard to come by in the month of August. Not that we can't get some, but, you know, there are various politicians. We can have a politician on every day from somewhere, but, you know, don't necessarily want to hear from a politician every day. Only like to hear from the ones we care about, and some of them are, like I said, hard to come by in the dog days of August. How is it where you're at? Is it hot and humid and all that sort of thing? I think no matter where you live in America, it's pretty warm right now. Pretty much about, 94, 95 degrees here this afternoon. A little bit humid. I know out Phoenix way, it's plenty warm from our friends out there. And, even up in the Midwest, it's hot and, as we always used to say, muggy. But it's that time of year, you know. You know, in Ohio and Indiana and Illinois and Pennsylvania and up to, you know, northern Kentucky where the tomatoes are getting ready. You know what? Living in Florida for a long time now, we get produce, you know, that's grown here locally, and it's okay. It's okay. It'll do. And the one nice thing about living in Florida is you get fresh produce year-round. You can get sweet corn in the middle of winter. You can get strawberries 3-4 times a year. You know, fresh green bell peppers and onions and tomatoes many times a year. They have many crops of tomatoes a year here. But you know what? They're just not very good. And, I know. All my friends that grow tomatoes here in Florida for a living, they're just not the same as those tomatoes grown up in that good, rich, black soil up in Ohio and Indiana, Illinois, out through there. You know what I mean? Those tomatoes that, you know, you know, when you're a kid, you just grab one out of the garden, wipe it off a little bit on your pants, your salt shaker, and sit there and eat tomatoes. The old juice dripping off your chin. Can't get tomatoes like that here in Florida. So the other night, I decided, man, I want some tomatoes, a little salt and pepper, a little bit of mayo, mix it all up, and I bought some local tomatoes. You know how it is. You're looking forward to something really good to eat. I was so disappointed. How the hell did I get started talking about tomatoes today? I must have tomatoes on the brain. But it's summertime, and it's time for that good old produce. You know, the sweet corn and all those good things coming off. Love fresh produce. I do. Anyway, it is summertime here in Florida. The kids went back to school yesterday and today, starting back to school already. I know many people around the country, school doesn't start till around Labor Day. So, got a ways to go yet for some of you kids. I know back way back around the turn of the century, no, the other century, when I was a kid, we went to school pretty much, the school was out at Memorial Day, and you started up again the first school day after Labor Day. But now, gee whiz, here in Florida, of course, kids get these big, long vacations nowadays, too. Get a couple weeks off at Christmas time, and I don't know, 10 days, 2 weeks at spring break. We never got any of that kind of stuff. We did get between Christmas and New Year's off. Again, here I go. What am I doing talking about that? Anyway... I don't have anything to talk about today, so I'll tell you what, I'm just going to open up the phone lines, and you guys call in, talk about whatever you want to, talk amongst yourself, and I'm going to go get a fresh tomato. Oh, no, I can't do that. All right. 866-546-5254. Feeling a little bit silly today. Naturally, there is plenty to talk about today. Desperation on the part of the right-wingers. God, has that ever been showing this past week? And, of course, the Republican war hawks are at it again. You know, I've got a fair question for all the Republican war hawks who think that the Iraq war is a wonderful thing because we're fighting them over there so we don't have to fight them here. And you've heard that so many times, and it came up again over the weekend. And the Bush people, who have thrived on fear, have ruled with fear over the last 5 years or so. Ever since 9/11, it's fear, fear, fear. That's all they talk about. Yet they haven't done a damn thing about it. Our ports are every bit as insecure as they were before. Our borders are at least as insecure as they were before. Our airlines, are they any safer here in the United States? I don't know. The railways, are they safer here in the United States? Are the big gas shipments, liquid natural gas? How do we say that? LNG, liquid natural gas, where they compress it and it's ice cold and all that sort of thing and bring it. You know, there's so many avenues here in the country that just aren't safe at all. And yet they're bragging about, oh, we're fighting this war on terror. I've got a fair question for all the Republican hawks who think that the Iraq war is a wonderful thing, like I said, because, you know, you heard them say it over and over and over again. We're fighting them over there so we don't have to fight them here. Here's a question. We lost about 3,000 citizens on 9/11. And I'm getting so I don't even like to say 9/11 anymore because they've got a one-track mind. It's like they got the right-wingers got a loop in their head, you know, one of those audio loops, like the video loops you see on the news services. And it just goes around and around and around, 9/11, 9/11, 9/11 terror, 9/11, 9/11 terror, over and over and over again. If this latest airplane bombing plot is true, and to me some of it's a very big if. It might have been terribly overblown, I don't know for sure, but if it is true, then we might as well have lost another 3,000. You know, we might well have lost another 3,000 American citizens if it was true. And so here's the question: how many Brits lost their lives exposing this alleged plot and capturing the people suspected of being involved in it? How many Brits lost their lives in exposing this whole big plot? How many? Any? I ask that question because we lost over 2,600 American lives in Iraq and had another 15,000 or so maimed for life so far, and now this war has lasted longer than our fight against Germany. How many terrorist plots has that Junior Bush adventure thwarted so far, the Iraq one? How many plots has the Iraq war stopped? Do you know? Has the Iraq war prevented even one terrorist event from taking place? Any that you know of? Is there any supposed terror attack plot been exposed in the entire world, even one, that the war in Iraq can be given credit for thwarting? Anybody? How many? Actually, the answer is none. The Bush-Iraq war has done absolutely nothing for the safety of American citizens. oh, maybe I shouldn't say nothing. Maybe I should say it's had quite the opposite effect. Bush's Iraq War, and it'll forever be known as Bush's Iraq War, has made us incalculably more unsafe in this country. But again, that war has done nothing for the safety of American citizens at all. Fighting them over there so we don't have to fight them here. I'm getting so sick of hearing that mantra. And yet, since last week, and you all know this, the Republicans have been politicizing terror like they've never done it before. They've gone on the offensive once again. King Karl Rove has decided that twice wasn't enough to run elections on scaring the hell out of the American citizens, that he's going to try it again. It worked so well the first two times, he's going to do it again. And why not? Voters in the United States were stupid enough to fall for it twice, and he thinks they'll go for it a third time. So they've gone on the offensive again. Every time this gang of Republican thugs see their poll numbers going down, right down the drain, somehow another terrorist threat pops up. Odd, don't you think? And we heard from along about Friday, Tom Reynolds, the chairman of the Republican House Campaign Committee, said that National Democrats are stone, and these are his words, stone cold guilty of engaging in a reckless and irresponsible pattern of neglect for the security of our citizens. He went on to say that the Democrats prefer a flag that is lily white to a flag that is red, white, and blue. Do you see a pattern here? He's making a naked political appeal to the good old boy, beer-swilling, brain-damaged, chemically imbalanced, unintelligent, pick-em-up-truck, Confederate flag-waving jackasses who are responsible for the Republicans being in power in the first place. He knows who his people are, and he is appealing to them once again. Frankly, I've seen some beings in the zoo behind bars that would be better informed voters than some of these Republican voters that swallowed Karl Rove's swill the first two times around on terror. Dick Cheney even went so far as to say that Ned Lamont's victory might encourage, quote, the Al-Qaeda types who want to break the will of the American people in terms of our ability to stay in the fight and complete the task. I ask you, Mr. Cheney, just what is that task, you power-mad, criminally insane bastard? What is it? The policies of the U.S. government are going to ensure the ongoing use of terrorism against American targets for decades to come, which means that the Republicans will be able to use it as a campaign platform indefinitely. And Cheney also portrayed the Democrats' party as preferring that the United States, quote, to quote him once again, retreat behind our oceans and not be actively engaged in this conflict and be safe here at home. Which conflict is that? The war in Iraq? The one that was based on your lies, Mr. Cheney? Our illegal invasion and occupation of a sovereign country that posed no threat to the national security whatsoever? That's what the Democrats get that the Republicans don't. Blowing the hell out of a nation will do nothing to end terrorism and everything to make the population of that country hate us even more. And Cheney had the audacity to claim that he had no knowledge of the British action, even though the Bush administration had been aware of the investigation for a while. And you know, you all know, that there's nothing going on in the White House that Cheney doesn't have his fingers in. I say Dick Cheney is a lying son of a bitch. For him to stand out in public and say that he had no knowledge of this whole thing, you know that is a bald-faced lie. And yet there's still people that trust him? What is the intellect of these people? You know, all the recent terror conspiracy proves is that the Republican way of fighting terror is not stopping it at all. The latest episode proves beyond a doubt that the proper way, and we've been saying it since day one here on this program, the proper way to fight terrorism is with police actions like the ones the Brits used in apprehending these guys. Sending a massive army and the full military might of the United States anywhere in the world to fight terrorism is an action that only a fool would try. But of course, we have fools in power. Sending the U.S. military is, however, the way to take control of an oil-rich region and help your rich friends gain even more riches and power. That is all Bush's Iraq war is about or ever was about. It's about money, money, money for the American big oil elite, the same big oil elite who are shaking down the American public for their hard-earned dollars every time you pull up to the gas pump. These guys are committing robbery in broad daylight and with the full blessing of Junior Bush and Dick Cheney. Remember how they both told us how helpful it would be to the American public to have them both be veterans in the oil business? Oh, it's been helpful, all right. It's been helpful for ExxonMobil to make $10 million in the first quarter. That's $10 billion in the first quarter this year. It's been helpful for everybody in the oil business. It's driven the American middle class and the poor into financial ruin. It's destroying small businesses all over this country. It's killing the economy for the average working man and woman. And it's taken the money we could use for vital projects in this country, like education, creating jobs, health care, and truly securing the safety of our citizens. It's taken the money needed for those things and pouring it down a rat hole, all while killing thousands of our young military people and maiming thousands of others. If you really believe Bush's so-called war on terror is being helpful to Americans, you're a complete fool. I don't care if you're a friend, a relative, a Republican, a Democrat. I don't care what your affiliation. If you believe Bush's war on terror is doing us any good at all, then you are not capable of independent thought. And if you believe that Bush and his crew are not using fear-mongering for political gain, then you are gullible beyond belief. So in answer to those of you who like to call some of us on the left intellectual elites, you go right ahead, and I'll gladly accept that title, because if you have been taken in by the Bush administration's propaganda bullcrap, then I know that I'm a hell of a lot smarter than you are, and I'll remind you of that fact every chance I get. I just love it when they call us the elite. Because in the thought department, that is what we are. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Guy, I so love your program.
Hi, Dave.
At the very best now, I'll only be able to exchange thought with you 3 days a week right now.
Yeah.
To get back up to five. But late development, and maybe I've heard it before you, because I just learned of it, and that is IRS. Two things, two developments. One, any of the agents that try to collect delinquent default accounts of the very rich will be fired. Two, they have outsourced and contracted with collection agencies to go after all the working class and poor people that they believe have a debt to the IRS. It's all being outsourced. And I understand 30, 40, maybe more percent of what these agencies collect will be theirs to keep, and so they'll be doing their harassments at all hours of the day and night. Just if in the event that you didn't have enough to already have some concerns about our government, one more to add.
IRS collection agencies, what good news?
They've outsourced the IRS as far as it going after the working people and the poor. But
well, they've outsourced just about everything else, Dave. Huh. The schools are being privatized. The military is being privatized. The IRS is now being outsourced. What is left? I mean, you know what we need to do, Dave? We need to outsource the White House.
Oh, do we ever. you know, we got to have a think tank going around the clock to come up with a way, because the rate they're going, just day after day after day, this country is not going to survive. And we'll be lucky if we make it to November, let alone the next two and a half
years. Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. I'm confounded every day. I watch the news and you know what I'm talking about. I know you go through the same thing. You see the news and your jaw drops and you think, nah, they're not going to try and pull that one on the American public. Then you find that 30 or 40% of the people believe anything they say.
And I understand this latest thing with the IRS to be totally in secret. There's no discussion, no public statement, no kind of discussions with Congress, just going to see if they could pull it off and have it right out there in Dundee before anybody knows about it.
So in other words, if you owe them $300-400, they're going to come after you, but if you live on Gulf Drive down in Naples, they're probably not going to bother you, because I heard a while back that they laid off a whole bunch of the auditors that normally auditor the well-heeled folks.
Right, and they're given instructions that if other agents feel the need to do so, they will do so at the cost of their job.
Well,
tell me we don't have criminal psychopath lunatics running our
country. Oh, no, I'm not telling you that, because you know I think we do. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're not beneath anything.
That's for sure. Dave, thanks for your call. Good to hear from you.
Hi.
Let's see. We got a whole board full here today. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. Hello? Well, that light was a flashing. I guess that person will just have to call back. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Good afternoon, Guy. Bill from Toledo.
Hi, Bill.
How are you doing today?
Oh, pretty good.
Say, listen, I'm sitting here listening to your opening on the show, and I got a salt shaker and some tomatoes.
Oh, no. Don't do that to me, Bill.
And I said, I don't believe this. I'm sitting here eating tomatoes, listening to you talk about tomatoes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What I wouldn't give for a good, nice, vine-ripe, good Ohio or Midwestern tomatoes. They're just not the same down here in Florida, let me tell you.
I know that. There's no comparison. They just don't have the flavor. You're absolutely right.
No, they don't. And you know, a lot of the fruits, and being a farm boy with an ag background, I know that much of the produce grown in Florida has been born and bred to ship. And you know, they like to make for example, here I'm going to impress everybody with my agriculture expertise here. there's a certain brand of strawberries. Many years ago, I used to grow strawberries when I was a kid, and there's a certain brand of them called Sure Crop, and they were developed by Purdue University, and so that they would ship well. And they were developed in Florida, and you know, they're like stones. You can ship them any place, and they won't be bruised. But they look nice and all that, but they're just not as tasty as those good old Midwestern strawberries.
Hey, listen, I think you're being a little kind on that Dick Cheney, aren't you?
Too kind to Dick Cheney. You know, Bill, I could not, without offending most of my office, my audience, I am sure that I would offend most of my audience if I told you what I really think of Dick Cheney.
Oh, yeah. Kudos there. Guy, I want to run some numbers by you today.
Yeah.
And this will just take a...
I'm a numbers kind of guy anyway.
Okay, well, you like these. I got these... says the trade deficit for 2005 was $725.8 billion, up 17% from a previous high of $617 billion. And this this is the fourth record trade deficit in a row. This is closing on a never-heard-of trade deficit of $1 trillion. Since the mid-2000, the U.S. has lost 3,000 manufacturing jobs. And this is from the Economic Policy.
I think you mean 3 million.
What's that, Guy?
I think you mean 3 million.
Or 3 million, what'd I say?
You said 3,000.
Oh, yeah, 3 million.
I wouldn't want those Republicans listening to think they're doing a good job.
Yeah, and... Since November of 2001, this has been the weakest economy in the post-war period. And then one last figure here. Private household indebtedness since 2000 has gone up 70%.
70%.
70%. And then one last
thing. That was private household indebtedness.
Right. It's gone up 70% since 2000.
Oh, that's an astounding figure.
Is that unbelievable?
Oh.
Whoa, one last figure here, Guy. Congress, and I know all your listeners know it, you know, but I want to say it over the air. Congress passed a bill to repatriate billions of dollars that these corporations have made over in China and overseas at a tax rate of 5.5%.
Five and a half.
The reason I'm talking about all this is I was watching C-SPAN on Sunday night, and Senator Byron Dorgan was on there with his new book. Maybe you could get him on. That'd be a good guy to get on. Take This Job and Ship It.
Yeah.
And, boy, he was really interesting Sunday, talking about how we've lost all these jobs and how this country's going into debt. They should be talking instead of terrorism. That's, you know, we lost a lot of lives there in September in 01, but it's nothing how these people are getting hurt in their pocketbooks and jobs. And
we know, Bill, 70% indebtedness has gone up since the year 2000. You know, that coupled with the fact that your actual wages for the average working guy have gone down.
Has gone nowhere. And what they're saying, point up, which I was going to talk about, the wages have stayed the same. And actually, we've lost ground on the wages.
Yeah, purchasing power's gone down.
And I don't see how we can keep going along like we're going. I think this country's really heading for a disaster.
Oh, and absolutely.
We got our mind on all this terrorism when nobody alive, there's hardly any people alive now that went through a Great Depression.
That's right. That's right. Did your parents go through the Depression?
I was 15 and 1917 for my mother and father.
My parents went through the Depression, and I heard about it in detail as I was growing up, and it was rough, and I think we could be facing something every bit as rough coming up, maybe worse. At least in those days, people, because of the way our culture was then, didn't have a mountain of debt, each family. All they had to worry about was, I don't mean to simplify it like that, but putting food on the table and all that. But nowadays, everybody's got a big mortgage and, you know, car payment and this, that, and the other
thing. And all these credit card bills, those are all going to take and see high. You know, they sucked them in on those low interest rates.
Oh, yeah.
And the same way with these, you couldn't turn the TV on 2 years ago and not see refinance.
Oh, yeah.
Now they're all going to get stuck with these higher interest bills on their homes. I don't see how this economy is going to keep going. I really don't.
Well, and then the credit card companies with this bankruptcy bill, and then now a lot of the new rules that went along with the credit card company. I mean, here you have an average Joe American here a couple of years ago. He's got a mortgage payment of, say, $750 a month or so, and he's got one of those
I know what
ARM, an adjustable rate mortgage, and
right.
And so he's keeping his nose to the grindstone. He's paying his mortgage, he's paying his house insurance.
Water.
Great. Yeah, and so the interest rate goes up on that a couple of hundred bucks a month because of the adjustable rate mortgage, and then he finds out his home insurance went up, and then he's paying $3 a gallon for gasoline.
How about your health insurance?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, he's working someplace for $8-$10 an hour. Where's that extra money coming from?
I don't know how they do it, Guy.
I don't know either.
I really don't.
I know a number of people who are, well, here in Florida, for example, there are people, you wouldn't believe how many people I'm talking to lately here says, I've got to move from Florida. I have to leave.
Taxes,
the property insurance.
Yeah.
On account of the hurricanes, it's
that's right.
It's going nuts.
What's your taxes been? I mean, your how high is your property insurance? Has it doubled or?
I wish.
Right?
I wish it. I wish I could tell you it had only doubled. Where I live, we got canceled. Had no claims. I might add, nobody in our entire neighborhood had any claims. Whatsoever during all the hurricanes, no claims at all, and everybody got canceled. And you start calling. You start calling around to insurance companies, and they laugh at you. No, we're not taking any new ones, and so you end up getting put in with this Citizens Insurance Company, which is backed by the state, which is entitled to charge I forget what percentage over the very highest rate that there is available commercially. And let me tell you, you're paying a lot of people paying as much for insurance as they are for their mortgage.
Jeez.
Oh yeah.
Man, oh man.
Yeah, it's tough. It's very, very tough right now here. And people all over the country getting nailed for, you know, so with all that stuff. You know, what's the working guy going to do? Jobs being, it's a terrible situation. All this outsourcing, guys. I mean, you know, we had the case of my very own brother on this program, a year or two ago. Worked 38 years for Whirlpool. Whirlpool comes along, says, guess
Whirlpool
what?
Whirlpool had a big place outside of Toledo here.
Well, they got one in Clyde, Ohio.
Uh-huh.
And then they had one in Marion, Ohio.
Yeah.
And the big dryer plant in Marion, Ohio. And they came along after 38
that
years.
That was a big place, too.
Oh, yeah. And they called in, 2,200 employees, called everybody in, says, hey, guys, just wanted you to know you're not working for Whirlpool anymore. You're working for this outsourcing company, and they're gonna want to talk to you. Don't worry, you haven't lost your job. But they are going to want to talk to you in a meeting in a couple of weeks. So 2 or 3 weeks go by, they call them in and say, yeah, you've still got your job. However, you know that $17 an hour you're making before?
Now you're making $9.
$8.75.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So thank you for the 38 years you've put in. And thank you for working for $8.75 an hour. And, oh, by the way, the insurance you had is not quite what it was before. That's going on all over America.
Hey, guy, and look how they took and did that. Paid those corporations money to take those jobs and take them overseas. And then they take and make all them billions of dollars, and then they can take and bring it back in. Who wouldn't want to have a tax rate of 5.5%?
Hey, how do we get on that gravy train?
Yeah, my God, I mean, is everything that this administration... A Republican. You want to know who the real terrorists are out there? They ought to have wanted posters on every one of those Republicans up. Because they care about nobody but themselves. And most of these politicians, just like that Joe Lieberman, all he cared about was keeping his job.
Oh, yeah. Know?
They don't want to lose those perks and all that they got. They might want to make sure that they keep themselves in office. That's first. And then maybe later on they'll take a look at us.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in a way, I don't blame them. That they live like kings in Washington. They act like little kings. They all do.
Yeah. Listen, before I let you go, I want to say I can believe the sauna, but the indoor swimming pool, I think that's a bit of a stretch. A little private joke there.
Yes, indeed. Thanks, Bill.
It was great talking to you, and I'll gobble down one of those tomatoes for you.
Thanks so much. Yeah. Doggone it. Bye now.
Listen, you take care of yourself.
Yeah, so long. Ah, yes. There he is, rubbing it in about those good Midwestern tomatoes. Hey, we're going to pause for a break right now. Don't go away. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Country, 'tis of thee, but dead is what you'll be if you stand in the way of Cheney's war machine. Osama bin Laden, man, where you been? We couldn't find you, so we just went the other way. Go figure. Now we're doing the Bush and Cheney shuffle, a twist on this and a spin on that. I don't believe a single word they say. They just sit around and make up lies all day. They told us Saddam had bubonic plague, WMDs in a bombing place. It was all underground and pointing at the USA. That's what they said. Is that true, Condoleezza? Hey, Rumsfeld, where did you get your information from, anyway? Isn't there a thing called wisdom when we are leaders of the free world? And it's going to cost over 2,500 American lives and 40,000 lives of the people we are supposedly liberating. That's not leadership. That's genocide. Now it's almost 3 years down the road, and our boys and girls still carry the load, dying in a country that really doesn't want us there. My job's gone and yours is too, and Bush won't tell us what he's gonna do. George W. boy, why don't you go on out to that gas pump and jack it up another quarter? Your daddy's bubbas, they appreciate it, y'all here. Now we're doing the Bush and Cheney shuffle, a twist on this and a spin on that. I don't believe a single word they say. They just sit around and make up lies all day. They told us Saddam had bubonic plague, WMDs in a bombing place. All underground and pointing at the USA. That's what they told us. Lies, lies. Don't want to hear no more lies. Lies, lies. Don't want to hear no more lies. Rumsfeld, Ashcroft, Cheney, or Bush. Don't want to hear no more lies. Democrats are in place, they're in the race. I know who I'm voting for.
He forgot to...
Go, Huckleberry!
Yeah, hey, that's for the Huckleberry campaign going on. They sent us that, and thank you for that. Yeah, nice of them to send that along. They did forget Gonzalez, though. They put Huckleberry in there. Need to have Gonzalez in there nowadays. He's the, I don't know, Attorney General, but... I have another word for him. I guess I won't say it. Hey, welcome to the show. You're welcome to call us, 866-546-5254. For those of you that just tuned in and happen to find us by mistake here on your computer and you're a right-wing Republican, you're going to think before the day's over that I wear a red cape and have horns and that I'm the devil himself, because I believe... the exact opposite of what you right-wing Republicans do on almost everything that you can mention. What a crazy bunch they are, and they're getting crazier, too. And you know, as St. Ronald of Reagan would say, there you go again. You know, it didn't take 10 minutes after the announcement of this latest run for your lives, the terrorist in your backyard story. Didn't take 10 minutes for the Republicans to start another wild, aggressive campaign of accusing the Democrats of being soft on terror. Tell me they didn't have this plan for a couple of days, got their battle plan together. They all knew about this plan. We now know from the British that the British wanted to hold off on it for a while, and the Americans said, no, let's announce it now. You see, we've got some political plans we'd like to use this coming week. This is week before last. Let's talk about it now, because you see, we got this Lieberman-Lamont thing, and we know that we're going to get our asses kicked in it by this Lamont guy, because we want Lieberman to win, because he's our boy. He says he's a Democrat, but he's really not. He's really one of our own, and we think he's going to get beat. And when he gets beat, we want to be able to come out against the Democrats and say, hey, you people are soft on terror. So let's go ahead and open it up now and let the whole world know about this terrorist plot right now. You see, that's what actually happened. And I'd like to remind those who are able to at least have an occasional rational thought on the Republican side that the Republicans, you see, have been in charge. If you actually think about this, the Republicans, although they haven't owned the White House for just only but 6 years, they have been in charge of national security in the Congress for quite a lot longer than that, you see. They've had control of the Congress for that long, and if they were so damn good at national security, why are we still so unsafe? Their cries of Democratic Party weakness on security, it's a real hoot, really, when you stop and think about it. Let's see now. What's that guy's name responsible for 9/11 who's still on the loose? Oh, can't think of they not only have not caught him, but our great president, Junior Bush, has publicly stated that he doesn't know where bin Laden is, and he doesn't care. Do remember that. A while back, he said he doesn't know. He didn't know, and he didn't care where bin Laden is. Now, all of a sudden, Al-Qaeda and bin Laden are the boogeyman again. It seems when things are looking bad for him, they tuck him away someplace and don't want us to be thinking about him. But when some terror plot comes up, oh my God, run for your lives, it's bin Laden again. You know, he said he didn't care, and that's really some statement for a guy to make whose party is accusing the other one of being weak on security. And then we have to wonder if bin Laden wouldn't have been caught a long time ago, if we had not pulled the troops out of Afghanistan, put them in a war where they shouldn't be, they wouldn't in a war there was no reason to have. They might have been really doing something in Afghanistan. They might have chased him through the hills up into the Pakistan. They might have caught the guy. But no. Let's take all of our troops and take them down to Iraq, where we can get mired in quicksand, just like Vietnam, and we can stay there for years, and we can get a bunch of our boys killed, but we'll have control of the Middle East, you see. And you can see Cheney and all the friends at ExxonMobil salivating at that fact. Can you see them in a room smoking their big cigars and thinking, yeah, this is great? Hardly any of them ever fought in a war. Can't think of any of them. Old Rumsfeld was in the service, but Cheney's the one with the five deferments. What was it he said? I had other priorities at the time, I believe is what he said. But here he is, the most aggressive of all the hawks is Dick Cheney. So then we've got this matter of a war going on in Iraq while the terrorists are absolutely running amok all around the world. And we've got our finest military people and our best hardware in Iraq and Afghanistan, and both countries are completely out of control, with more of our soldiers dying every day. And the bill for the whole ill-begotten affair is unpaid and is growing by massive amounts every single day. Meanwhile, Kim Jong-il is producing nukes, testing missiles to deliver them while laughing in our faces, and Iran is going ahead with their nuclear weapon plan, and we won't even talk to them. No, it wouldn't be right to talk to somebody like that. No. We've told the rest of the world that the Geneva Convention doesn't apply to us. And why? Because we say it doesn't. That's why, and what you going to do about it? You know, our military, in the meantime, has committed heinous war crimes, and only peons have been punished for it, while the rest of the world is revolted by our actions. Our own Bill of Rights is being scuttled by the Junior Bush administration, and Gonzales and Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld and the others, all of them within this cabal, think it's okay to torture people. God only knows how much illegal spying has taken place on innocent Americans without their knowledge. Israel starts a new war with Junior Bush's blessing and is now licking their wounds. Right-wing religious extremists are having meetings. Now we know the right-wing religious extremists are actually having meetings with White House staffers explaining the rapture and Armageddon to them. All of this, and the Republicans are trying to spin the whole awful mess as the fault of the Democrats? Am I the one that's crazy? I'll tell you this. If the Democrats don't stand up right now, and I'm pretty pissed off that they're doing a lousy job of it, if they don't stand up right now and tell the country in no uncertain terms just how damn bad the Republicans are on national defense, then the Democrats don't deserve to be elected. We're in the worst mess in our nation's history on foreign policy. I still think the worst mess we ever had was our Civil War. And the Republicans are almost entirely responsible for this mess. And the Democrats have an obligation to strongly and passionately and resolutely inform the American public about just who is at the helm of the ship of state right now. Why do the Democratic politicians not do a better job at it? It's massive failure on the part of the Republicans, and the Democrats are allowing them to turn this around on us? Where is a good old give-em-hell Harry Truman when you need one? Who among the Democrats is going to have the courage to get in front of the cameras and tell the real story of what's going on here? Show that pent-up rage amongst many of the Democrats. Get out in front of the cameras and let go. Let loose. Which Democrat's going to throw caution to the wind and stand up to this gang of incompetent thugs like Harry Truman would have done? Can you imagine? Can you just imagine what Harry Truman, those of you that remember Harry Truman, we can only imagine what Harry Truman would be saying right now about these bastard Republicans who are trying to spin this as the Democrats being weak on terror. He would be throwing a fit, and I'll tell you what, the American people would respect him for it. Because you can be sometimes crude like Harry Truman was. You can be in your face with facts like Harry Truman was, and they will respect you for it because they know you're telling the truth. When are the Democrats going to grow a spine and let loose on the Republican on this? I've called every Democrat's office I know of. I hope you'll do the same. Tell them we need somebody with some guts to stand up now. We sure do. Bill was giving us some interesting stats, and just a little bit off subject here for a minute, but something I got a report in today, and I wanted to be sure and mention this. This honest Bush administration, these people, they're going to bring dignity back to the White House and honor and family values and all that. You know, I have to laugh every time I think about that. That these are the people who pulled the wool over American public's eyes and got, what was it, 59 million of them or some odd number to vote for them? Amazing. Just absolutely amazing. But, I had this report sent in to me today. The Bush administration withholds the names of small business contractors, and I'll give you two guesses why. In the face of 13 federal investigations and stories in major media outlets, including Associated Press, New York Times, Los Angeles Times, ABC, CBS News, the Bush administration continues, get this, continues to refuse to publicize the names of the firms that received $79.6 billion in small business contracts. Folks, that's $79.6 billion of your money and my money and everybody that paid any taxes, and yet you cannot get an answer from the Bush administration as to who they even paid the money to. It's supposed to be going to small businesses, this $79.6 billion, but you can't find out which ones got it. And you know why? You know why? Because I will bet you a dollar to a donut that most of that money went to oh-so-not-so-small businesses and all of them to right-wing Republican friends. What do you want to bet? There's further investigation going on in this, but imagine that, $79.6 billion in small business contracts out, and the administration refuses to publicize the names of the firms that got the money. That's a record-breaking number being sent to small businesses, and they will not disclose who it was paid to. You wait. We will find out who this money went to. You just wait. You know damn well who got the money. And it wasn't any small businesses either. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, this is Juanita.
Hi, Juanita.
I got something really important to say.
All right.
Florida tomatoes.
Oh. Okay.
Okay. I don't buy any tomatoes in the grocery stores anymore. Haven't in quite a few years. The best tomatoes you can get in Florida, in my experience, are these roadside places, and that's not always good either. So I don't know. I sure would like to have a Ohio one if they're a lot better.
Oh, they are. They're a lot better.
It really is terrible. I mean, they're just terrible here. I totally agree with you.
Yeah, they're always real firm and taste like they're not ripe, no matter how much you ripen them.
You get their stringy and all. Yeah. Just terrible.
Oh yeah.
But sometimes if I get them, you know, by the roadside sellers, sometimes they're pretty good.
Yeah, if you get some of the ones come like from Tennessee up in there, they're pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know where they come from, but
yeah.
But sometimes those aren't good either.
Sometimes some of the earliest ones we get, you see along the road, are from Tennessee, and they're not bad.
I got a question to ask you about the Republicans, now that they've gone all out for Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to lose their hate group based here in the United States, the ones that really hate Israel?
Oh, no. No, they won't. They'll find a rationalization to stay with them sometime. I'm going to, second hour, if I think of it, I've got a website I'm going to turn everybody on to that I want them to see. You talk about hate. It's by an Israeli group. And you talk about a site that's racist and hateful. I don't think I've ever seen a more racist, hateful website than, and it's by these AIPAC type people, American Israeli political action group, and as far as I'm concerned, it's racist filth. But it's how much they hate the Palestinians and how they're subhuman and how they want to get rid of them all out of their country. I'll go into that in the second hour.
I also would like about Lieberman and all. When they started all this stuff about Clinton and Monica.
Oh, yeah.
I never will forget. I was watching, you know, the only thing you could watch then was something like Fox or CNN or whatever. And I was looking forward to watching the Pope go into Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
Our correspondents were down there, Dan Rather and all.
Oh, yeah. I remember that
day. And all of a sudden, they all came back.
Yeah.
And I heard it, and I heard it, and I heard it, and I heard it, and I heard it.
I never thought I'd see
that.
Yeah. I never thought I'd see the day where the Pope got preempted because of Bill Clinton's skivvies, huh?
Yeah.
Never thought I'd see the day.
And they just went on and on, and I just you had these women, what did I tell my children? And these were some of the women, like the one that was messing around with the police chief in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the married guy.
Oh, yeah. And then we had Newt Gingrich, who was having an affair himself at the same time. And of course, what's his name that was going to take over the speakers?
I know who you're talking about, and I can't think of his name. Livingston.
Livingston, yes. We had quite a number. And of course, we learned then about Henry Hyde and his little dalliances.
I just despised Henry Hyde. I watched that whole series.
And Bob Barr had his own little problems.
Yeah.
And
Henry Hyde, when he would not give the Democrats time to talk. He said, no, that's it.
Yeah, well,
he was so hateful.
Probably the most disingenuous of all of them during the time.
Yeah, he was so hateful. But, you know, they're talking about, what do you tell? Okay, well, what do we tell children today when they see all the lies? That doesn't matter? Doesn't that matter?
These
lies that people are telling?
It's the worst example
like Lieberman, you know, is telling lies, trying to get back in office.
Oh, Joe's doing his best to try and say he's a Democrat, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, you know what I mean. What do we tell our children about things like that? To me, that's far more important.
Yeah, of course.
Than, you know, always. But that was what you heard over and over again about Bill Clinton.
Oh, yeah.
Just constantly. And he would have a press conference. He would have. I remember one time he had Tony Blair there, and another time he had Arafat, and all they could ask him about was Monica.
Mm-hmm. I'll bet Arafat and Tony Blair really enjoyed that, though, standing there while Clinton had to answer those kind of questions.
And, you know, he just got to where he'd just turn away when they would ask him anything.
Yeah, well, who can blame
him? Anyway, I sure would like to have an Ohio tomato.
Yeah, maybe somebody will send me a bushel of them. Well, not a bushel. They'd get rotten before I'd eat them all. Maybe a peck basket of them.
I don't know how they do.
Yeah.
But you're so right. Even other vegetables are not that good as they were. I don't know. They just aren't.
I know what you mean. Hey, thanks for your call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, I haven't heard anybody call and let us know what they think about the scare tactics, the latest terror plot. Do you think it's totally legit? Do you think it's partially true? Do you think it's terribly overblown? You know, some of the things we have learned about this terrorist group or whatever they really are. That they are British citizens. I did notice there wasn't an Iraqi amongst any of them, once again. We know that they've been watching these guys since way back in June of 05. We know that they hadn't got passports or airline tickets yet. We know that the chemicals, and I think this is an important part of this, we know that the chemicals they would have needed to use are too corrosive to carry in plastic. But now, not before, when they first learned about it, but now we can't take lip gloss or gel insoles on airplanes. Imagine that, having to give up your gel insoles. Whether this was a real threat or not, we might never know. What we do know is that these guys are using it to manipulate public opinion to keep their power. They do not have the public good in mind on this. You can bet your little boots on that, that's for sure. Hey, let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. It's Greg from Connecticut.
Hi, Greg.
Well, yeah, I just had to call and comment about this. I happened to be over in Europe just as this whole thing broke, and I got back on Sunday, you know, so I had to go through all the fun of, you know, all the bag searches and everything else.
Oh, boy.
Well, luckily I was able to go through Paris and having to go through London, so that kind of helped, but it was still not pleasant. I mean, they searched literally every single bag everyone had. Every passenger had his bag searched twice, his carry-on, so it was quite an ordeal. But, you know, I think you just hit the nail on the head a minute ago. When we look at the people who are responsible for this, you know, they're you know, British citizens, but where's the contact? It's back to Pakistan.
Sure.
So once again, we go back to that Al-Qaeda hotbed of Pakistan, Afghanistan, you know, and this is what we keep ignoring, you know. So, you you know, people have got to realize that, you know, the more countries we attack, the more we're spreading ourselves thin and we can't address the real problem of Al-Qaeda as a terrorist source.
And then isn't it funny how Pakistan always seems to be the place where so much of this filters back to?
You know, and if it's so much about freedom, you know, Musharraf is not a democratically elected
leader. Not at all.
You know, it's always, you know, a lack of democracy is always fine if it's, you know, it happens to be an ally of ours.
Yeah, he's our latest dictator buddy, you know.
Yeah, you know, and I just thought it was very interesting how this was all so well in time to coincide with the primary, you know, in here in Connecticut. And, you know, it's like Cheney and all them, you know, were all primed with their speeches. There's no way that they could have just heard about this on the news and had their speeches ready right then.
That's exactly right.
I mean, this has gone on for several days.
You betcha.
You know. And it's just disgusting how they use that. Now, the few Democrats stood up and said, you know, how can you do this? But, you know, even Lieberman now is saying, well, you know, look, this is proof, you know, that I have to be elected because
is
soft on terror and this and that. I mean, it's just absolutely absurd, you know.
Hey, thanks for your call. Got to go to the news.
Okay.
Glad you're home safe.
Okay, thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
This is the Quality News Network. Tens of thousands of refugees from both sides of the Lebanese-Israeli border are slowly returning to their homes now that a fragile ceasefire is in effect and Israeli forces start to withdraw from some of the positions that they've occupied south of the Litani River. Israel maintains, however, that it will continue to maintain its air and sea blockade on Lebanon until Lebanese and international peacekeeping forces arrive to monitor the borders. No word on what's happened to two Fox journalists who were kidnapped yesterday by masked Palestinian gunmen in Gaza City after being pulled from their marked SUV. The Palestinian security forces are searching for them. In Iraq, six people killed in a gun battle between Iraqi police and Shiite extremists in the central Iraqi city of Karbala today, and nine people died when a suicide bomber detonated a truck rigged with explosives outside the offices of a Kurdish political party in the northern city of Mosul. Today marks a milestone in the Iraqi war. It now has lasted longer than the American effort against Germany in World War II, which lasted 1,245 days. Today is day number 1246 in Iraq. British police have arrested a 25th person in connection with last week's alleged plot by suspected Islamist militants to blow up U.S.-bound jetliners over the Atlantic. And the Washington Post reports that a Pakistani charity that received $10 million from Britain for earthquake relief last year reportedly helped finance that terrorist plot. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad says Iran will not yield to Western pressure to give up its nuclear program. He says Tehran maintains its right to develop nuclear power for peaceful purposes. Nearly 1.5 million gallons of crude oil has been spilled in the eastern Indian Ocean, the result of a Japanese oil tanker collision with a cargo ship. It's been nearly a year since Hurricane Katrina, but despite the fact that the Army Corps of Engineers was given $1 billion 6 months ago to fix the levees around New Orleans, none of that work has yet started. The Corps blames procedural problems for the delay. In northwest Spain, the 1,750 forest fires raging for the past 2 weeks have finally been brought under control. Cubans have seen President Fidel Castro on TV for the first time since his surgery 2 weeks ago. The video shows that the bedridden Castro joking with his brother and Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez on Sunday during Castro's 80th birthday. New census figures show that the U.S. now has 35 million immigrants, 12.4% of the total population. Eight metropolitan areas now are home to at least 1 million immigrants. They are Washington, D.C., New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Miami, Chicago, Houston, and Dallas. This is the Quality News Network. Business news is next.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
Wholesale prices rose only a tenth of 1% last month after going up nearly a half a percent in June. The housing market continues to slow, with sales nationally down 7% in the second quarter compared with a year ago. Home Depot reports its second quarter net income rose 5.3% to $1.86 billion. For the first time in more than a decade, Walmart is reporting a decline in quarterly profit. Dell is recalling the Sony batteries from more than 4 million of its laptop computers, saying they could overheat and catch fire. It's the largest recall in Dell's history. The John Deere Company has beaten Wall Street expectations with increased third-quarter profits. So has Bayer Pharmaceuticals, reporting fourth-quarter earnings of $82.3 million. Reuters reports that Wall Street bonuses will rise 15% this year, with larger increases for investment bankers and equities traders as merger activity surges and stocks rise. A new study by Johnson Associates also predicts that bonuses for bankers will probably jump 25%. Gold is trading this hour at $634, down $5.30 an ounce. Silver is at $12.10, down 6 cents an ounce. And light sweet crude oil is trading at $73.20 a barrel, down 33 cents a barrel from yesterday's close. On Wall Street, the markets are higher. The Dow up 99 points at 11,197. NASDAQ is up 45 at 2,085. And S&P 500 is up 14 points. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Diana Walter. It's now 5 past the hour.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Ah, yes, we are back. Welcome back to the Guy James Show. Glad to have all of you along this afternoon. It's raining outside. Yes, it is raining here in South. It does rain in Southwest Florida this time in the afternoon, just about every day this time of year. So it's not monsoon season or anything. Actually, we don't have one we call monsoon season here. But anyway, welcome to the program. Glad to have you along with us this afternoon. We've been talking about all sorts of things this afternoon. And we do hope you will give us a call, 866-546-5254. I'd like to say hello to all the folks over at the Head On Radio Network chat room. Yes, indeed. Glad to have all of you folks along, and just thousands and thousands of people over there in that chat room. I don't know how they find room for them all. I really don't. Yeah. Okay. Hey, what did you think? Did very many of you get to see my favorite guy? I don't know what it is about the Republicans and their party chairman. It's like this Melman guy. This Melman guy. Do you agree that there's just something really weird about him? Something really, really weird about him? He's just, I don't know what it is. He just seems like, I don't know. Really strange guy. Very, very, very strange guy. I don't know what the deal is with him. But he was giving a speech up in Cleveland the other day. And he said today's Democrats, and I want to make a point here. He said today's Democrats, this is Melman talking, he said today's Democrats are the defeatocrat party. The defeatocrat party. Isn't he clever, this Kenny boy Melman? What I'd like to know is, and the point I want to make here for a few minutes is that if the Democrats are defeatist and helping the enemy, as they like to say, just what the hell do you call the following here? Now, the National Review, which is as right-wing a magazine as you'd ever want to read, and let me quote from the editors of the National Review, says, in addition to winning in Lebanon, Iran has the upper hand both in Iraq and in the contest over whether it will be allowed to acquire nuclear weapons. If current trends continue, the Bush administration's project in the Middle East will require the same sort of expedience we've just seen in the Israel-Lebanon conflict, a papering over of what is essentially a failure. This is the National Review. You might as well call it the National Republican Conservative Review. Let me add neocon onto that. And they are cutting Bush to pieces and saying that the Israel-Lebanon conflict is a loss, a failure. But we Democrats are the defeatists. Ken Melman saying the Democrats are saying this was a mistake and we were losing in Iraq and all that, so we're hurting the morale of the country and we're empowering the terrorist. They never fail to mention that's what's it. Yes, we're aiding and abetting the enemy every time we say that the Iraq war is not going well. Dan Reel, also at the National Review, and let me quote him. He said, "So it turns out the lofty anti-terrorism rhetoric of Bush was little more than what some speechwriter wrote to be read from a screen. The man has looked over his head for much of his second term. Now it's becoming more clear just how far. This will embolden the opposition in Iraq and could lead ultimately to the destruction of Israel. Our war president has turned out to be a disgrace. At this point in world history, the Islamofascists look like..." They're getting to love that word, aren't they? Islamofascists. "They look like they deserve to win. In fact, they might." This is from the editors and the writers from the National Review after Ken Melman saying the Democrats are the defeatist and helping the enemy. Over at Powerline blog is right-wing a place you can get. John Podhertz contends that this would mean the end of the old mayor government. He says, "I'm tempted to suggest that our government, having seemingly lost its will to oppose or even let others oppose our deadliest enemies, deserves the same fate." Michelle Malkin, one of our very favorite people. We love her. Love her like I would love a good case. Never mind. Michelle Malkin says Israel and the West surrendered to Hezbollah, the terrorist, and the UN win. And Kenny Boy Melman says the Democrats are aiding the enemy by being defeatist. Kenny, you need to pay attention a little closer. The folks over to the Heritage Foundation, now there's a left-wing bastion for you. They're having an NRO supposed symposium over to the Heritage Foundation, and Peter Brooks, there's one of their senior fellows, says if there's a clear winner in this war, it is Iran. And Shoshana Byron over at the NRO symposium, thus far, she says the U.S. and Israel lose, Iran wins. And Ann Bieski over at the NRO symposium says Kofi Annan's wide grin as he stood side by side with Secretary Rice and Freddie said it all. He won, but America's and the freedom's cost lost. And yet, Kenny Boy Melman is spinning it that the Democrats are the defeatist. I do want to belabor this point, because the Republicans are beating this story to death, day in, day out, 24/7, on all the right-wing talk shows. They are making their point that the Democrats, by criticizing Bush and the Iraq War and the right-wing neocon hawks, the Democrats are aiding the enemy by causing bad morale with our troops. And yet, all of these Republicans are mentioned of saying these nasty things. Jeff Goldstein says Israel and the U.S. have been defeated. Hezbollah will grow emboldened, as will Iran. The Daily Pundit, in a post recommended by Instant Pundit on the internet there, you all know that site, says, read the whole thing, especially if you work in the White House. Bush's proud words of 5 years ago stand revealed as hollow and meaningless. What happened? What happened was one of the biggest failures of leadership in Remember where this is coming from, folks. One of the biggest failures of leadership in presidential history. Bush supporters will claim that Bush was done in by a liberal media and the ferocious hatred of liberals and left-wingers. But that is one of the things true leadership is all about, managing and overcoming opposition in order to achieve the necessary goals. In this case, the destruction of world Islamist terrorism and the regimes that support it. Bush turned out to be singularly ill-equipped for this task, both by skill and by temperament. Remember, this coming from a right-wing rag. His public relations management was curiously hesitant and badly timed, and of course, his inability to speak effectively in public was a gigantic handicap. His temperament, it eventually became clear, was hesitant, overly calculating, timid, and, ooh, what a horrible thing to be accused of if you're a right-winger, compassionate. It goes on to say, compassion has its place, but not in war fighting. The Bush we know would not have pulled the trigger on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. He abdicated the hard decisions in favor of political maneuvering and meaningless gestures. As for me, I've moved on. The first administration of the first century of the American third millennium will, in my estimation, be remembered as one of the biggest failures of that century. Bush's great failure was not invading Iraq, but not weathering the adversity that followed through acts of real leadership and then pressing on with the necessary military destruction of the other regimes he himself named as most dangerous 5 years ago. I'm hoping we can get through the next 2 years without any major disasters, and then I'm looking to elect a real war leader to the White House, somebody with a warrior's temperament and a leader's skills. George Bush has neither. He is a dangerous failure, and America will be rid of him. This from a right-winger? Wow. You know, and even our good kooky friends, Charles Krauthammer and Billy Bob Kristol, I love them both, both said on Fox this weekend that Iran has been made stronger than ever, and Hezbollah was the winner in this latest skirmish. Remember now, all of these guys mentioned and quoted here have at one time or another said that Democrats saying anything bad about the president during the time of war is unpatriotic, un-American, or treasonous. Even the wacky Mike Savage called Democrats who had any complaints about the war seditionist. All of these guys I just mentioned are as right-wing as you can possibly get, and all of these guys have publicly written or stated that attacking the president during wartime makes all of us less safe, and now all of them are attacking Bush savagely. If you'll forgive me for using a saying that we like to use down on the farm when I was a kid, I guess it depends on whose chicken is getting plucked here. It's fascinating. It's a fascinating study in human nature when you see these Republicans try to ride both sides of the fence. First, the Democrats are the lousy defeatists for saying anything bad about Bush and the war, but the Republicans can say anything. Anything they want. And that's okay. It's just constructive criticism, you know. Odd. Very odd. Let me see here. I want to see if I can pull up this website that I was wanting you folks to see. Let me see here. Where is it? Okay. It's called Israel's Growing Cancer, and I'd like for you to take a look at this. It's at masada2000.org. masada2000.org. Called A Cancer Within. Don't know when I've read a more hateful website. And let me read you some of it here. I wanted you to be sure and see this. One out of every four children inside Israel is Muslim. The annual Arab-Israeli population growth rate is 3.4%, while that of the Jewish Israelis, but 1.4%. Do the math. and you will see a demographic catastrophe just over the horizon. Again, this website is saying the median age of the Israeli Jew is 35. The median age of the Israeli Arab is 14 and just entering his reproductive years, anxious to make both love and war. Another way of looking at this is that half of all Israeli Arabs are under the age of 14. The average Israeli Jewish family has just 3 children. That of the Israeli Arab family, 7 children. That translates into an Israeli Arab generational population increase over 7 times that of the Israeli Jew. This is like a growing cancer. This is a nightmare. Says, we are talking about the Arab citizens of Israel. We are not talking about the so-called Palestinian Arabs living in the West Bank and Gaza, the occupied or administered territory, which, by the way, Israel captured as a result of a war brought to them by the Arab world. It really doesn't matter that much since both the Arabs in the West Bank, Gaza, and within Israel itself consider themselves to be Palestinians rather than Israelis. So what is the only real difference between a mob of Palestinian Arabs and a mob of Israeli Arabs? The former can only say slaughter the Jews in Arabic, while the Israeli Arab can also say it in Hebrew. Very nice website, masada2000.org. A few other things on here that I thought you'd like to know about. What lies ahead? This is from a 2001 study conducted by Dr. Sarah Lazar and Dr. Assad Ghanem, published by The Study of Peace. In response to the question, how would you define your identity? What lies ahead? Arab-Jewish confrontation will begin when the Arabs of Israel constitute 25 or 40% of the total Israeli population. In fact, they have already begun. They are now a full 21% of the total Israeli population and counting. Every revolution is ignited and fought by young people like that Jewish killer wannabe stone thrower at the left. Picture of a young child here. Today's young, educated, and radical, ungrateful, homegrown Arab youth is utterly different from their frightened, uneducated parents and grandparents who saw 7 Arab armies mauled by the Jews. With their Arab brothers and sisters trying to destroy Israel from the West Bank, Gaza, and neighboring Arab states, these young Israeli Arabs want to help by fighting Israel from within. There's a lot to see here on this website, but I think to get an idea of the racism that exists, the radicalism that existed, you should read this website. This is what must be done. It is the primary obligation of the government to protect Jewish lives. Israel is first and foremost a Jewish democratic state. It is not a non-sectarian democratic country like the United States. As such, it is absurd for any other than Jews to be citizens in the first place. Do you see the gravity of that statement? As such, it is absurd for anyone other than Jews to be citizens in the first place. That is why Israel must revamp its constitution, making Israel unequivocally a Jewish state, with no possibility that any other group will ever become the majority. It is insane to have enemies of the Jewish people living anywhere within its boundaries. So how does Israel put a stop to the explosive Israeli Arab population growth? The same way one puts a stop to a growing cancer. Remove it. Immediate measures. All Arab Israeli villages must be dismantled and their inhabitants removed to any one of the 24 Arab countries. Israel takes care of all the world's Jewish refugees. Let the Arab nations take care of their own. The Arab world is 600 times the size of Israel. I think they have room. Number 2, the repeal of citizenship of all non-Jews. The immediate expulsion of all agitators or inciters. The immediate and swift execution of all Arab terrorists, and 5, zero tolerance for any intifada by a swift military takedown. The Israeli army should not waste rubber bullets unless rubber rocks are being thrown at them. You want to read a hate site? Says this cancer's been left to fester much too long already. It is amazing that there is so much hatred in this world. It is so regrettable. But like we've mentioned before, for Bush to say there's we're going to have a war on terrorism is so foolish. There has been terrorism, there has been evil in this world since Adam and Eve left the Garden of Eden. And as long as the human spirit is on this earth, there will be evil. No one, no culture, nobody is going to stamp it out. Not ever. We can insulate ourselves from it. We can do the best we can to protect ourselves. We can make our borders safe, our ports safe, our airplanes safe, our railways safe. We can do all of those things. But to say that we are going to rid the world of terrorism is pure folly. I don't care if you're a right-wing Republican, what you want to say about that. If you think I'm being a defeatist, I am not. I'm being a realist. You cannot, you will not, you will never, ever eradicate terrorism and evil off of this earth. Never. And those of you who are foolish enough to accept that Bush doctrine of eliminating and eradicating terrorism from the face of the earth, why can't you see that? You all know people that can't be rehabilitated, for example. The prisons are full of people, of evil people, people of pure evil that cannot be rehabilitated. Hell, some of them might even want to be rehabilitated, but they cannot be for one reason or another. Mental problems, I don't know, many, many reasons. But don't you see, you folks that follow the Bush mantra, the terrorism mantra, the fear-mongering that goes on with these folks, don't you see what's happening here? Don't you understand that these right-wing extremists who are now running this country are scaring hell out of the people in order to have their way politically with you? Don't you understand that? Why don't you understand that? I don't get it. How can you not see that? I don't know. I don't get it. I don't think I ever will. Yeah, somebody on the website said, and so true. I was talking to you there from a right-wing website. It says, sounds like a typical day at Little Green Footballs. You're absolutely right, the Little Green Footballs. Whom, by the way, is a website Mr. Drug Junkie himself often talks about, Little Green Footballs. Mr. Pills Limbaugh mentions them fairly often. So, what do you think about this whole mess in the Middle East? You're awfully quiet today. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. We hope you give us a call. And, you know, I try and be a realist on this program. It doesn't take a clairvoyant when you look at the situation we have going on right now. I think, and again, we're during the last... The last couple of elections, both of them involving Dark Cheney and Junior Bush, telling us how good it was for America that they're in oil business. They can help. Yeah. I really think rising gas prices might just be signaling the end of this suburban utopia we've enjoyed for so many years. The housing bubble, I don't know about where you're at, but where I'm at, the housing bubble is dangerously close to popping. Many people have got big mortgages they can't pay right now. The adjustable rate mortgages. Housing sales have declined for the past 9 months in a row. They're down 69% where I live from where they were last year, admittedly from a bubble, from a huge bubble. And those are new houses. Older houses refinanced at new housing prices are expected to take a hit if the bubble bursts. And if the bubble does burst, it's going to throw this economy into a recession or maybe even a depression like nothing we've ever seen in this country. Think about it. Just think about it. What's going to bail us out if that happens? What new jobs? New jobs? During the last depression, what brought us out of it were programs of Franklin Roosevelt putting people back to work again. That's what ended the depression. Franklin Roosevelt coming up with enough governmental plans and enough private industry jobs to put America back to work again. That's how the depression ended the last time around. And admittedly, the world economy got better as well. But basically, it happened from within the United States. That's how we got out of it. People stopped having to stand on street corners and sell apples. People stopped having to have signs on their shoulders on the city streets, "Brother, can you spare a dime?" just so they could buy some soup for their family. But we may be facing that again. And what is going to bail us out? It's not going to be new jobs. What new jobs? We've lost most of our vital manufacturing jobs, the jobs Americans really depended upon to keep our economy rolling, which is what the Federal Reserve is seeing in the future. The economy, which the Republicans have told us is booming, what a laugh, has created fewer jobs than expected. The official unemployment rate, that is, people still receiving benefits, as opposed to those whose benefits have run out and haven't been able to find employment, it's at 4.8%. Our friends up in Michigan have a 6.3% unemployment rate. But what else has been happening, as you well know, is a widening of the gap between the net worth and the wage growth. In the period from 1991 to 1996, during a different time, net worth grew by 15.6% by wages, while wages gained 11.3%. From 2001 to 2005, net worth rose 16.6%, while wages grew only 2.7%. I don't have to tell you what that refers to. The gap that's ever growing. And as I've said here before, the economy is only booming at the top. I could give you a book full of examples of that right here where I live. The people who are asking for the tax cut the Republicans want to give them aren't feeling the pinch that places like even Las Vegas are feeling. You know, trade deficits, budget deficits. Just don't ask the upper class to help the country at all. And Bush has not asked the upper class to help this country whatsoever during this whole time in office. It's the middle and lower classes, the poor classes, that are going to be paying the tab for all of this. And I got to tell you, and I hope I'm dead wrong, I would love for everybody to call me up in a couple of years and say, "Man, were you ever wrong about this guy?" I really don't see the country getting out of this right now. You know, we've got more jobs outsourced, and the more jobs that are outsourced lead to more layoffs, which leads to more outsourcing, which leads to more layoffs. And until we can find out a way to stop the hemorrhaging of jobs out of this country, the economy is going to continue to head to a recession. There's no way around that. And so in the meantime, we can expect to see working people. And I got to see about 15 minutes of this the other night. I couldn't believe my eyes. Working people mocked by the likes of Paris Hilton on a show called The Simple Life. Have any of you seen that? She went to some common folks' house and she didn't do anything but made fun of them, this little rich bitch. Because she knows she's going to get that estate tax comes someday. So the working people will keep working to pay her for her whatever it is she does. And those like her who are absolutely feeling entitled and contribute nothing to the betterment of the society. Am I rambling on today? I guess I am, maybe. But I'm sick to death of the way things are going right now. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. I hope you'll give us a call. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Don't think twice about the life you lead. Must be nice that someone else will bleed. Fear is all around, terror's on the rise. Stars and stripes are waving, fills our patriotic hearts with pride. Don't think twice. Don't think twice about the wars we wage. Don't compromise. No, that's a big mistake. Freedom's on the march. God is on our side. Sure to say a prayer for those courageous souls we sacrifice. Don't think twice. About the lives we take. Wrong or right, it's got to be our way. So that we may live, thousands have to die. Say the pledge and tell yourself that we will surely justify. Don't think twice. Don't think twice. It isn't up to you. Close your mind. Pretend it's just not true. These colors never run. We're not afraid to fight. Especially if someone else is gonna have to pay the price. Don't think twice. Don't think twice. Don't think twice. Don't think twice.
Calling in, and I'm promising myself not to cry, but y'all's right about things that are going on in the current events. I'm wondering, has anybody noticed in America, all of us that are unemployed? I'm 43 years old, and I've been working since I was 16. My husband is 45. We've been married 22 years, and we've always worked. A year ago, I lost my job. 6 months ago, his job was outsourced to India. We have three children. One that's 18, and we were going to try to help them get through college, but anyway, I just wonder, there's so many of us, and people that don't seem to notice what's going on, and nobody, I read the paper, and I don't see a lot of people writing about it, and I know there's a lot of them out there, because I talk to my friends every day that I used to work with, and there are no jobs, and it just seems like somebody ought to write that, a lot of jobs have gone overseas, and there's no jobs in this country for people that have worked all their lives. And, yesterday I was on the phone looking around for shelters because we've got another 2 months before we're going to get thrown out of our house. And we were part of that middle class section there. This wasn't, I mean, I never thought this was supposed to happen to us. And I know there's a lot of people out there like us. So anyway, it'd be neat if somebody would write and make the country aware that, I mean, I feel like invisible. You go to the grocery store and it's like, anyway, we're an invisible section, but I think there's like millions of us. So anyway, somebody ought to write about it. And you always write about everything and you make it good. And nobody hears us. So I...
To respond or forward, press 1 to delete.
Got an email about that phone call. You heard me play that a couple of weeks ago, two, 3 weeks ago, when I first had it sent to me. Got an email from one of our right-wing friends who never has the courage to call this program. And the email said, boo, hoo, 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 hoo. I feel so bad for that woman that called you. Said, go out and get another job. Send your husband out and get another job. Don't be too good to work at Walmart. Don't be too good to work at McDonald's. No compassion whatsoever. Millions of people feeling like that lady you just heard. Millions. And you can bet over on the right, especially the rich right, they're drinking champagne and not thinking much about it at all. Because it just doesn't matter. It does not matter to these people who are so ingrained, so indoctrinated. I'm having difficulty lately, and I know a lot of you are too. The terrible frustration that you see taking place in this country. Things are bad for many, many people, and yet. You have your likes of your drug junkie and your Hannity's and the people like that saying, oh, no, things are really good. If you were a good Republican, things would be good for you, too. I will tell you this. I did have one of my right-wing friends the other day tell me, after all of this, after defending George Bush all along, I guess this is a backhanded way to get out of his affiliation and his admiration for George Bush, and a real backhanded way to admit that maybe he didn't like Bush so much and Bush has been bad for America after all. He actually said to me, well, I do have to admit right now that I'd probably rather have Joe Lieberman as the president than I would George Bush. Hardcore Republican told me that. I got to tell you, that made me blink. It really did. And what do you think about that situation anyway, Joe Lieberman up there? You know, a lot of people saying, well, you know, that's a wake-up call for the Democrats, for the Republicans, that now this election scene, this election fight this fall is going to be fought over the Iraq war, and a lot of Republicans are shaking in their shoes. Because, they see that it's going to be a referendum on the Iraq war, and you know how the Iraq war is going. Uh-huh. Well, I don't know. A lot of you think like I do. I like to get outside the box. I also think a lot of Democrats are quite worried about that as well, as they should be. If what happened to Joe Lieberman is a move by the Netroots, the grassroots of this party, and I'll use that word so many people don't like, to purge the party of people like that, then I think that's a good thing. A little purity in the party wouldn't hurt. I think that, of course, we have the big tent and we take people in from all stripes, but there's a certain set of principles that this party has to stick to in order to be a Democrat, and one of them is to fight for the truth. And Joe Lieberman, in his almighty support of Junior Bush and this war, was not dealing in truth at all. And so he deserved what he got. And I think we're seeing now, in the aftermath of that terrible embarrassment to Joe Lieberman. We're seeing just where his real loyalties lie. They lie in himself. Trying so hard to proclaim that he's a Democrat. And didn't you just have to snicker watching Tony Snow the other day? I don't know when I've seen a guy put on the spot more at a presidential, at one of these press conferences that Tony Snow was the other day. Well, I've got here, I've got a transcript of it. The question was, does the president support the Republican candidate for Senate in Connecticut? And Snow comes back and says, the president supports, you talk about dancing now, now listen to this. He said the president supports the democratic process in the state of Connecticut and wishes them a successful election in November. Notice the dancing here. The question said, it goes back, wait a minute. I realize he supports democracy, but I'm wondering, does he actually support his own party's candidate? Mr. Snow says, I know that's not news. The question says, why are you committing? Why aren't you committing? Why wouldn't the president commit support for the Republican candidate in that? And Snow comes back and says, I don't know. Why do you ask? Is there something about the candidate that I should know about that would lead to judgments? Question. I'm just asking you. Snow. No, that's just a question. It seems like a very natural thing. Why wouldn't he support a member of his own party? Is it because he's well behind in the polls? Is it because the president likes Joe Lieberman? What's, why not? And Tony Snow says, there are a whole host of reasons the president, I'm just not going to play. Question, it's not really a game, Mr. Snow. It's not a game. It's not a game, but I'll tell you what, I'll refer you to the political office to give you the full judgments on that. I think you know the situation in Connecticut. Well, Tony, I think we do know the situation in Connecticut. Do we not? Do we not? You better believe that Karl Rove, Darth Cheney, Junior Bush, and all of them in the Republican Party are hoping Joe Lieberman takes that seat. You better believe it, because they've been able to count on Joe when they needed him. Joe, all of a sudden, Mr. Partisan Politics. What a phony. What a phony. Yes, sir. Oh, Snow actually declined to endorse Alan Schlesinger. He's the official Republican Senate candidate for Joe Lieberman's Connecticut Senate seat. Refused to endorse him. You know, Lieberman, who likes to call himself an independent Democrat, the question there is, will he endorse the three Democratic candidates seeking to oust Republican incumbents and campaign on their behalf? Will he fulfill his pledge? If he's elected to a fourth term, will he caucus with the Democrats? Will he commit to voting for a Democrat to lead the Senate? It's time for Mr. Lieberman to step up and define himself and provide some answers. Have you heard any answers to any of these? I haven't. And, you know, we had this recent hype about the, quote, foiled terror plot. It does seem oddly timed, right after Joe Lieberman's loss up in the primary. It was, and that primary was seen as a referendum on the war and terror. And it came right on cue, the tightening of the security. And it's odd, you know, when you start looking at the situation, they've been investigating this for the last 18 months. You can always tell when you can always tell when an election is near by the Islamo-fascist paranoia level being run by the Republicans. Run, everybody! Look out! Oh my God! Here they come! But who's really the fascist here? Think about that for a minute. 60% of the Americans are now opposed to the war in Iraq, which has never had anything to do with the war on terror, and everything to do with the Project for a New American Century. You want to talk about some fascists? Read those people's writings. Lieberman and the Republicans have labeled the 60% extremists, when in fact they really only need to look in the mirror and see who the real extremists are in this case. 60% of Americans are opposed to the war in Iraq, and yet the Republicans and Joe Lieberman are calling 60% of the American people extremists. And now we find that through this terror mongering and fear mongering, 39% of Americans advocate that Muslims should have special IDs. Muslims. Special IDs. You know, kind of like the Star of David or the pink triangles the Nazis made the Jews and the homosexuals wear. 39%. Which also coincides, it's the highest Bush approval rating. It's highest it's reached since post-Katrina. I'm sure that those 39% would also support taking action against Iran and Syria, even though the terrorists were second-generation Pakistanis. Because most of these people lack the mental faculties to discern one Islamic State from another. Even Michael Chertoff originally suggested that Al-Qaeda was behind this because, along with 9/11, Al-Qaeda is the magic pee-your-pants word for the 39%. That's good enough. All you got to do is mention Al-Qaeda. That's all you got to do. Mention it. I see Chertoff is backing off from that now. Now they're not quite so sure that Al-Qaeda is involved in this. Whatever happened to the Miami 7? Just threw that in there. Anybody know? Heard anything about the Miami 7, the terrible terrorists they caught in Miami just a few months ago? What, 2 months ago? Ooh, had that yellow police tape up and down the block of that street. 7 of them. 7 Miami terrorists. Ooh. Had big plans. What happened to them? Where'd they go? What have they been charged with? What are they guilty of? And speaking of Florida, we've got Senator Bill Nelson here, and I'll make some Democrat mad and say this. I don't care for Senator Bill Nelson. Never have, never will. Don't like his politics, even though he says he's a Democrat. He's not much of one, in my opinion. Somehow the Nelson boys in the Senate haven't done a great job for the Democratic Party. But I'm not real fond of Bill Nelson. How'd you like to be a candidate knowing that Bill Nelson's not all that popular with Democrats in the state of Florida? How'd you like to be a candidate that's 45% in the polls, 45 points behind Bill? And I'm talking about Katie now, you know, Katie Harris, Catherine, the beautiful Catherine Harris. She ought to just hang it up and get herself a job, you know, district manager for Revlon or one of those cosmetic companies. 45 points behind Bill Nelson. Now, do you know of a race where anybody's been any farther behind than that? 45% in a Republican state? Yes, it is. I'm sorry to say it, and I hate to admit it, a Republican state. 45 points down. I'm sure most of you have been following Harris's highly entertaining race with her weekly staff replacements and her legal problems. And who knows, she still might be messed up, you know, in that Duke Cunningham deal. Everybody in the Republican Party begged her to drop out of the race. And someone sent me an email, said the only real question now is whether or not she'll manage to beat Alan Key's disastrous showing in 2004. As of this poll, she's on target to tie with Alan Keyes. Well, that wouldn't be anything to be proud of, that's for sure. Katie Harris, an amazing, amazing woman. And I see Bush is on TV talking about how Israel's the big winners in this war. And remember, this is coming from a guy that said mission accomplished of just a few years ago. Not so long ago. Any Pennsylvanians out there? Now, here's, you know, I'm talking about the elections going on right now. I'm a little bit concerned. Casey had a nice lead over that crazy Santorum. Well, there's another guy. When I see him, I see his face on TV. Whew. You just look in Santorum's eye. You can tell he's nuts. You can tell the guy is, you know, all the euphemisms you can think of, one oar in the water, one brick shy of a load, all those. You can tell. He's got that crazy look in his eye. Right-wing radical extremist. Third in line in the Republican Party. But what happens? Casey's got a nice lead on him over in Pennsylvania, and somebody from the Green Party gets in the race and starts siphoning votes off. Where have we heard this before? What the hell are people thinking? Of course, the Republicans will throw a lot of money at that Green candidate. Why do they do it? How could you be? Well, we all know this Green candidate must be more Republican than Democrat, and he's obviously working on behalf of Rick Santorum. Why else would you do this? And the Republicans will throw a lot of money at it in hopes to get Santorum back. Because if Santorum falls, it'd be devastating for the Republicans. Absolutely devastating for the Republicans. I see the polls over the weekend held on for Ohio, where we had Ted Strickland still way up on Ken Blackwell, way up, double digits. Sherrod Brown still up by 6 points on Mike DeWine. When you look all around the country, I think things are looking good for the Democrats. I'm feeling a little better about it than I did just a couple of weeks ago. Things seem to be going well, and although the Republicans right now are out crowing that this, thwarting this terrorist plot is really going to play well, and they've actually used those words, it's going to play well, because that's the first thing in their mind when they heard about it was, oh, politics. Not the good of America. Politics. How can we use this politically? I'm not going to say that Democrats never get involved in that sort of thing, but the Republicans are so blatant about it nowadays. How can we use this to curry political favor with the American public? I know. Let's go after the stupid ones again and start saying we're in grave danger and only the Republicans can save you. The stupid ones put us in office and the stupid ones can keep us in office. They play to the stupid ones. Hey, I'll tell you what. You want some fun? They'll hate me for this. There's a website called Wink WNOG. WINKWNOG.com. It's a radio station in Southwest Florida. And they've got a forum on there. And I've told you before about the political landscape of this particular area, how right-wing it is. You want to see some good old-fashioned redneck pick-em-up truck shotgun-toting tobacco-chewing right-wing crackers? You'll find them on that website. You most certainly will. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. Brown shirt heaven, some of them act like. They really do. Speaking of brown shirts, I see now Homeland Security Chief Michael Chertoff has called for a review of domestic anti-terrorism law, saying the U.S. might benefit from the more aggressive surveillance and arrest powers used by British authorities last week to thwart an alleged plot to bomb airliners. The Boston Globe reports this. Chertoff said no American links to the London plot have been uncovered, but added that the top priority for U.S. counterterrorism officials is to identify any possible connections between the suspects in Britain and Pakistan and individuals in the United States. They're going to use this as an excuse to take away some more of your rights and the Bill of Rights. That's what it's all about, to make this even a more heavy-duty police state, more tightly controlled, more secrecy for the Bush administration. They've done it at every opportunity, and they're going to try and do it again. Mark my word. Folks, the election's coming up. I do want you to all be sure. And hey, I know my audience. You're all good Democrats, and you're going to get out, and you're going to vote in the primaries and all. But get a hold of a couple of your neighbors, some people that you know that maybe you suspect aren't all that interested in politics. Talk to them a little bit. You know, don't beat them over the head with it, but kind of use your influence and give them a few facts and figures and tell them how important it is that they get out and vote this time. There are a lot of people that have lost their zeal for American politics because of what it's become over the last few years, the hate and so forth. There are a lot of people who say, it doesn't matter. My vote doesn't matter. And they're all, both the parties are the same. Well, they're not. They're not the same. And there's a lot of people, you know, wanting to go out and start a new party. No, let's for the Democrats, let's fix the old one. Let's fix it. There's a lot wrong with the Democratic Party, but we can fix it. You and I. All we have to do is stay at it. We got a wonderful foundation to build on. We've got a great history. Got a many great acts and deeds for the good of this nation. Been done by the Democratic Party. And we could write volumes and volumes and volumes of great things the Democratic Party has done for this country. So think about that. And go out and talk to some folks. Go out and talk to some folks that you know don't vote. Maybe get them to register if they haven't voted. Maybe even drive them to the polls. This is important this year, folks. This is very, very important. I want you to do that, and I know you will. Most important vote in the history of this country. Hey, thanks so much for being with us today. We really appreciate your listening to the program, as always. We hope you'll stay tuned. Bruce Birch is going to be coming up here in just a moment and here on the Head On Radio Network. So stick around for that. I know you'll want to. You listen to the Guy James Show. Never forget, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Stay tuned for Bruce Birch and have yourself a great day. See you tomorrow.